Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. With our faith under attack more than ever, the only way to stay strong is to immerse ourselves in God's Word, to mine it, memorize it, and meditate on it. To start us on the journey of scripture memorization and meditation, we invited well-known speaker and apologist Dr. O.S. Hawkins to discuss his new book, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Stay tuned to find out how to receive this insightful resource. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
It was the ultimate spiritual battle. The Creator was alone and hungry, and the most powerful creature in the universe was poised and ready to strike. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Sensing vulnerability, the Son of the Dawn seized the moment. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The bright morning star might well have responded by unveiling the effulgence of his divine glory, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, you might remember what happened next. Satan transported Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Why? Because it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus could have routed Satan with 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit. In desperation, the dragon took the Lord to the summit of a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'm going to give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. The Lord of the universe could have blinded the dragon with the brilliance of his intellect, but he did not. He took up the sword of the Spirit. And that's the point. As Jesus armed himself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we must as well. Because if we are armed with the puny sword of reason, we're impotent before an arch fiend who has studied us thoroughly, who is intimately acquainted with all our vulnerabilities. If we're armed with the sword of the Spirit, however, we're a terror to Satan, and we can stand strong in the face of his fiercest temptations. We must ever be mindful that the Word of God was not forged with human hands. It bears the imprimatur of the Spirit. He alone gives the sword its edge. He alone can teach us how to rightly use it. It was the Spirit who instructed Paul to write, "Take the sword," and therefore we're reminded that it's not enough to have the Word of God in our homes or in our hands. We must deftly wield the Word of God on the battlefield of life. And that, of course, means that we're equipped to mine the treasure that is buried in the Word of God. So I'd like to say, mine the Bible for all its wealth. It also means that we are to memorize the Word of God. And despite the marvelous benefits of Scripture memorization, far too few Christians have made this practice a lifestyle. And for the most part, it's not because they don't want to. It's simply because they've never been taught to. And one other point, and that is, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, involves meditating on the Word of God. Well, given all of this as prologue, it's hardly a wonder that I am so excited to have O.S. Hawkins join me on today's broadcast. I first encountered O.S. in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, shortly after my own conversion, and he is certainly one of the clearest communicators I have encountered from that day to the present. And now his book, The Joshua Code, is a clear indication of what a clear communicator he is. And in his communication, I got so excited, the communication in the Joshua Code, that I wanted to offer this to our constituency as the best way to start off the new year. Well, O.S. Hawkins joins me now to talk about this extraordinary resource. Hi, O.S.
Hank, how are you? And that's the most articulate intro to anything I've ever heard, and on point.
Well, I love your book. I mean, I got excited when I first saw it. First of all, it's a beautiful book. But when I actually got into it, I recognized that we have this mutual passion for memorizing, for meditating, and for mining the Word of God. And this is one of those resources that, in a very practical way, allows us to do that in a systematic fashion.
We certainly hope so, Hank. And the very intro that you gave to this program related to our Lord overcoming his temptation with the Word of God. If he needed to do that, how much more do we? And the reason so many of us falter and fail at that very point is we don't have the Word in our hearts and minds to be able to overcome him.
You actually talk about that in the introduction to the book when you write about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. Tell that story.
Well, actually, this book had its genesis when I was listening to my 7-year-old grandchild quote an entire passage from one of the Psalms. And I thought, how many people do I know who love Christ, who are faithful to their church, who are faithful to ministries such as yours, and yet haven't memorized a verse of Scripture in years and maybe even decades? And so it brought back to my own mind. I came to know the Lord when I was 17 years of age. A young man witnessed to me and shared Christ with me after a basketball game when I was a senior in high school. And I thought he was crazy, but I couldn't get away from that seed that he planted in my heart. And the next Sunday morning, he came by and took me to his church. It happened to be the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth. And I heard the gospel for the first time in my life that morning and embraced it and was gloriously converted to Christ. I could count on one hand how many times I'd been to church. I was 17, didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books of the Bible. And an old gentleman in the church came by and put a piece of paper in my hand and said, "Son, you better look this up and memorize it because you're going to need it." And I looked on that piece of paper, and it said 1:10:13. That it might as well have been hieroglyphics to me. I had no clue what it meant. But that was on a Sunday. The next day, I was a senior in high school. I got in my car after school, and I drove downtown Fort Worth where I'd seen an old bookstore, Christian bookstore. I'd never been in it, but I knew where one was. And I went in there and bought my first Bible and went out to the car and was sitting in the car looking at the table of contents in that Bible. And I saw something that said C-O-R. It reminded me of that piece of paper, and I pulled it out of my pocket, and it said 1. So I saw a 1 C-O-R there, and so I turned to it, and I made out 10:13. Of course, it was 1 Corinthians 10:13. And before I had put the key in the ignition, I sat in that car that afternoon and memorized that. That was the first verse I ever memorized that reminds us that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I memorized that verse that day, and only heaven has recorded how many times as a college student or in my young adult life or in my adult life till this very day I will get to temptation's corner and that verse hidden in my heart and mind will surface and remind me that, listen, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted above that you're able, but he will make an escape route for you that you may be able to bear it. And only God knows how many times that verse planted in my heart has kept me on right lines.
Talking to O.S. Hawkins, he is the author of the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. And what I love about this book, OS, is that it is very practical. It's doable. I've often said with scripture memorization, what happens is someone like yourself will quote a lot of scripture and people will say, easy for him to do. I could never do that. I don't know how anyone could do what he does. But what you do is show that you have to eat the elephant one bite at a time. Take small bites, and you can build successively on this principle of memorization, and after a year, you can have a whole repository of scripture in your mind, and that will result in living a life that is effective, that can make a difference for time and for eternity.
Amen. You know, the very title of the book, The Joshua Code, comes from Joshua 1:8, where it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night in order to do all that is written therein, and then you'll make your way successful, and then you'll have good success."
And you have made this a practice in your life, a practice in your ministry. And what I love, even in the introduction, is the way in which you make that practical for all of us. And one of the things you talk about is handwriting phrase by phrase, a scripture verse on a note card. So even if you have this book, that's still a practice that you recommend we follow.
Yeah, and you know what, Hank? It's easy. It helps me if I do that, and I think I put this in the introduction also, that it helps me to do this in my own handwriting, and to do it a phrase at a time. So, if I were memorizing John 3:16, for example, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," I would just write a phrase at a time. You know, "For God so loved the world." And then underneath that, "that He gave His only begotten Son." And I put that card in my pocket. And there'll be times during the day at a stoplight or when I'm waiting on a phone call or when I'm doing something else, I'll just look at that card and I'll say that first phrase until I've sealed it. And then I'll move to the second and move to the third. And it is amazing how people can grasp this and do it.
Yeah, this is it seems like a trivial thing that you're saying, but it's really important in the whole process of memorization. It's using normally unproductive time. And if you have it on a note card and you have it with you, it gives you that opportunity when you're standing in line, you're bored, or you think time is dragging on very, very slowly. You pull that out, and all of a sudden things are moving pretty fast. I mean, the line dissipates very quickly, or
right.
the light turns green or whatever. But it is a way of using normally unproductive time, an important insight.
Right. Hopefully that is exactly what it would do, because it is. And what better way to use unproductive time than to be hiding the Word in our hearts?
And the other thing I like about this in terms of simplicity is what you just communicated about enunciating phrase after phrase and then coupling the phrases together until it's part of who you are. And there's so many other great insights that you have, and they're simply put, but they're profound. You explain, for example, how important it is to take something from your short-term memory to your long-term memory.
Right.
So that you have it years later and it becomes part of the warp and woof of who you are.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing that we've allowed Eastern mysticism and other things to rob us from is the principle not just of memorization, but of meditation on the Word of God. And you know, one of the keys I've found in meditating on the Word of God is inflection. Just by taking a verse of Scripture, for example, Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord or called according to His purpose." You ask most Christians to quote that verse, and many Christians know that verse, but when they quote it, most of them will say this. It says, "all things work together for good," and they'll leave off that first phrase. And "for we know." And you see, it's a family secret, Romans 8:28. You know, you can't tell the lost person that all things work together for good. And the way you find that out is through inflection. For example, by taking a verse, and the way I meditate on a verse is that I'll just take a verse and put an inflection on a different word every time. "For we know that all things work together." "For we know that all things work together." "For we know that all things work together." And it's amazing the insight that God will give you when you just put the inflection on a different word and just meditate on it day and night. And you know, when it says day and night, Hank, it's amazing when you're memorizing Scripture, when you're meditating on it, how you'll even wake up in the middle of the night with it on your mind.
Or when you're shaving in the morning. I mean,
exactly.
Or as you said, when you are in the throes of temptation, the Word of God comes back to you. The Word does not return void. I'm talking to O.S. Hawkins. He is a hero of the faith to me. He's the author of The Joshua Code. I think this is the best resource I could put into your hands to start off the new year. It's practical. It's insightful. When we come back from the break, I want to talk to OS about how this book is structured, because it's very meaningful in its presentation. This is not a book that you have to wade through, that you get lost in. It is practical from start to finish, and it can be one of those books that changes your life. That's oftentimes a cliche. It's trivialized, but this is true. This book, put into practice, will make 2013 a banner year in your life. And as your life is transformed, you will have the power to transform the lives of others, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We'll be right back in just a few moments with O.S. Hawkins. In the meantime, you can order for your gift the Joshua Code. You may want to get multiple copies. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. And while you're on the World Wide Web, do take a look at the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. Back in just a few moments with more of my friend, a hero of the faith, O.S. Hawkins, as we talk about the Joshua Code.
When we memorize God's Word, we can meditate on it any time of day or night in any situation. It's like simmering ingredients in a pot to come together in new ways, deepening your spiritual insights as nothing else can. To help you memorize and meditate on Scripture, we want to offer you the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know, by outstanding speaker and apologist O.S. Hawkins, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support this month. For your copy, go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well-researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist.
Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Committing God's Word to memory isn't just a good idea, it's a biblical imperative. Moses, Solomon, Joshua, and Jesus himself enjoin us to fix the words of the Almighty in our consciousness. That's why we're offering Hank's favorite new book on scripture memorization, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know by the renowned speaker and apologist Dr. O.S. Hawkins, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support this month. Strengthen your memorization or start for the very first time. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You're listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I speak to my friend O.S. Hawkins, who is just a powerful communicator of the Word of God. I want to say just a few things before I go back to OS, and that is, post-Gutenberg, we're primarily people of the printed page. As the offspring of Johannes Gutenberg and more recently of Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, we associate sound education with the capacity for reading and writing, not for the capacity of memorizing and reciting. But that wasn't the case with the ancients. In a predominantly oral culture, people practiced the principles of memory. In fact, learning was virtually synonymous with memorization. And if there's one thing preserved in the text of Scripture, it's the injunction to record God's words upon the tablet of your heart. Remember Moses, he exhorted the people of God, impress the words of the Almighty upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. Above all, said Moses, don't forget. And of course, Moses wasn't alone. Solomon, who prayed for a wise and discerning heart, he implored his hearers to bind the Word of God around their fingers, around their necks, write the Word of God on the tablet of their hearts. And of course, Jesus said, let these words sink into your ears. And of course, then there's a Joshua Code. The Jesus of the Old Testament, Joshua, beseeched the people of the promise, do not let this Book of the Law, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. In other words, it wasn't enough to record the sayings of understanding on a common tablet. It was to be inscribed upon the tablet of one's consciousness. Scripture memorization is, unfortunately, a lost art in the Christian world. But we want to do all in our power to change that woeful condition. And the Joshua Code by my friend O.S. Hawkins is a powerful step in the right direction. And I welcome back O.S. O.S., again, this is a beautiful book. I mean, it just feels good in your hands.
It is, and Thomas Nelson's done a beautiful job in putting it in a gift edition that anybody would be thrilled to have. You know, the book is written, Hank, with three particular people in mind. First of all, churches are using it. I know several churches that have ordered it for their entire membership, because the key to the Joshua Code really is in the subtitle, 52 Scripture Verses Every Believer Should Know. Now, it's not the only 52 we should know, but I picked 52 verses that basically every believer ought to know and have hidden in their hearts. And churches are using this to take their people on a year-long journey. Every chapter has an expository outline on the verse and devotional thoughts on the verse of how to apply it to our lives as we memorize it. And so the challenge is to take one verse a week for 1 year and memorized 52 of these verses. So churches are using it and going through, challenging the whole church. People are using it as their own personal devotional book for a year. And then we've also found that for those of us who have loved ones or family members or friends, maybe who do not know the Lord or who do know the Lord but are not in the Word and don't know where to start in the Bible, it's a great place to get people to start in the Word of God. For example, the very first chapter is we entitle it "Everyone Has a Worldview," because we take the first verse of the Bible there: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And one's worldview can be determined by what one thinks about the first four words of the whole Bible: "In the beginning, God." If we believe that, we'll have a Christian worldview. If we don't, we won't. And so the real secret to it is really in the subtitle, I think, 52 scripture verses every believer should know.
And what I think is beautiful, again, going to that very example, if you actually read that example as I have, you give us the three salient things that you're really getting out of this passage, exegeting or drawing out of the passage: the when, in the beginning, the who, God, and the what, created the heavens and the earth. So a couple things I want to ask you about this. Number one, it's a very short passage that you're asking us to memorize, and I think that's brilliant in and of itself, because so often my experience has been when people get involved in scripture memorization, they bite off more than they can chew. And then it becomes an unfinished monument in their lives. So what you're doing is giving people bite-sized chunks that are really doable.
Exactly right. And, you know, so many times we've given people the impression that it is the volume of Scripture every day that they put into their heart and into their life. And so we try to be voluminous in what we do and just read 10, 12, 15 chapters a day. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know many believers that can assimilate that much Bible knowledge anyway. We need to take this, I believe, in bite-sized pieces, as you mentioned, and hide the Word in our heart, and then meditate on it. You know, it's said of Mary. For you just think about Mary, and I love what you said a while ago about the Gutenberg and about these early believers that we hold in our hands what they never had, the printed Word. And they had to memorize this thing. And Mary, she knew what was all that was going on. It says she pondered. Sumbalo is the Greek word. It means she just stirred it all together like a bunch of ingredients in a pan. And she was just stirring it together, meditating on it, thinking it over, praying it over, let it incarnate in her life and just pondered it. And too few of us really ponder the Scripture. Meditate on the Scripture. The word has the connotation of a humming sound, that it just begins to be a hum in our hearts and in our minds.
You know, you've already alluded to this, and I want to expand on this a little bit. The way the book is constructed, it's important from your perspective to know what we are memorizing. In other words, to understand what's going on when we memorize the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So the book is constructed in such a way that we get the meaning. We walk away from reading that section, that chapter, one of the 52, with an understanding of what is inculcated in the text.
Well, hopefully that's true, Hank, because that's certainly the intent. You know, for an example, every believer ought to know Ephesians 2:8. They ought to also know it 9 and 10 along with it. But Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves; it's the gift of God." And that's what we do. We break that down in there to show that salvation is God's work. By grace you've been saved. It's God's unmerited favor upon us. Salvation is God's work in God's way. Through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And, of course, when you read on in verses 8 and 9 and 10, we find that salvation is God's work in God's way according to God's will, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. So we try to explain the verses, put some devotional thoughts there to help us build a structure behind the memorization.
What's important about this, when you think about how this works for 2013... What you have, in essence, is a template week by week. So you're spending a week not only memorizing that verse, making it part of who you are, but actually understanding the meaning. So you continually go back to this chapter, chapter one, in the first week, and really get this rooted in your mind. Not only the actual words rooted in your memory, and then taking it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory, but also really getting the essence of what it means by going over and over during the week what you've written, in this case, about the when, the who, and the what.
Right. And you know what? It's very helpful, I think, Hank, it is to me anyway, in memorizing it. If you've got that out on a note card and you've got it phrase by phrase as it's been outlined in here, not only do you memorize it phrase by phrase, but you understand it phrase by phrase, what you're memorizing, and it all comes together. There's a Greek word for that that Paul talks about in Acts 16. When it says he concluded that this was the will of God for him when he got the Macedonian call. In other words, it all came together like a jigsaw puzzle that was being put together, and a piece fit here and there and there, and then it all came together. And it is amazing how the Word of God will come together in our minds when we really seek to understand it and hide it in our hearts.
O.S., talk about the importance of memorizing with a family member or a friend so there's some accountability structure.
That's a very good point. That's the secret of a lot of great ministries that have in the past taught people to memorize Scripture. And that is, I can remember as I began as a teenager, there were several of us that were saved about the same time and called to preach at the same time. Our mutual friend Jack Graham, who's pastor of the Prestonwood Baptist Church here in Dallas, was there the day I was saved when I was 17. And as teenagers, we entered into an accountability relationship with each other. We didn't even know what to call it. Nobody ever told us what it was or how to do it. But we would challenge one another. We would quote Scripture back and forth together. Then we were called to preach, and our hearts were so on fire for God. We'd go downtown and preach on the street corners. We'd preach in rescue missions. We'd preach everywhere we had opportunity and challenge one another to be rightly dividing the word of truth and to memorize Scripture.
And I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about this book being for a very good cause. This is not a book to enrich you, but this is a book to enrich people who have enriched the lives of others through the service of being a minister or a minister's wife, involved in impacting the lives of people for time and for eternity, but people that are so often forgotten once their career has run out.
Exactly. For the last 15 years, I've been at Guidestone, which is a ministry that serves pastors and missionaries, 200,000 of them all over the world with so many of their benefit needs. And one of the things we have is a ministry called Mission Dignity. We're on a mission to bring dignity to a certain group of forgotten people, and that is pastors who had to vocationally retire, that are in their declining years, average their ages up in their 80s, and maybe they pastored out the crossroads, or they were so faithful in some small out-of-the-way place and lived in a church-owned house or parsonage or pastorum all their lives and then had to get out of it and tried to make do, never were able to provide for their retirement, the churches, the small churches they pastored. And so we've got thousands of those pastors around the country, and in many cases now they're widows. One-fourth of everyone in this ministry is a widow over the age of 85. And so and they're all living near the poverty level. And Mission Dignity is a ministry that is able to be Christ's hand extended to them. When we started it several years ago, we would raise enough money to be able to give each of them $50 a month extra, which helped them. But now the neediest among them get $530 a month. And it's such a blessing. I wish you could read my mail, the way it enables them to get their medicine or to have a hamburger every once in a while or something. And all of the royalties and all the proceeds from the Joshua Code go to Mission Dignity. So that's one of the reasons I unashamedly and unabashedly promote this book, is that all the proceeds, all the royalties go to support these good and godly old soldiers of the cross, and in so many cases, their widows.
Be right back with O.S. Hawkins.
You know scripture memorization matters, but it can seem overwhelming. Let CRI help you with the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know, by renowned speaker and apologist O.S. Hawkins. Each week for a year, you'll memorize another crucial verse with Hawkins' memorization tips and exposition to help it sink into your heart and mind. The Joshua Code is our gift in appreciation for your ministry support this month. Your support helps produce more of the broadcast you rely on. So call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Our faith is under more intense attack than ever, and the only way to stay strong is to immerse oneself in God's Word, to mine it, meditate on it, and memorize it. Now, well-known speaker and apologist O.S. Hawkins will help you memorize and mine 52 of the Bible's most crucial verses in his new book, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift of ministry support this month. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. And thank you. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The apostles of the Gentiles said that all scriptures God breathed. All scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the Bible not only forms the foundation of an effective prayer life, but it's foundational to every other aspect of Christian living. And while prayer is our primary way of communicating with God, the Bible is God's primary way of communicating with us. Therefore, nothing should take precedence over getting into the Word and getting the Word into us. If we were to fail to eat well-balanced meals on a regular basis, we would eventually suffer the physical consequences. And what is true of the outer man is certainly true of the inner man. If we do not regularly feed on the Word of God, we will suffer the spiritual consequences. Now, one of the things that happened to me, I'm talking to O.S. Hawkins, who is the author of the Joshua Code. One of the things that happened to me, O.S., is that I was told early on as a new believer that all Christians memorize the Word of God. And by the time I found out that that wasn't really true, I was already hooked. And that has become the foundation for everything that I do in ministry.
Absolutely. And I think those who, that verse you just quoted from 2 Timothy reminds us of that truth that you just parlayed here, that it has to be a balanced approach too. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you know what? One of the things in the Joshua Code is we try to bring this balance into it. In fact, if you read Peter's first recorded sermon in Acts 2 at Pentecost, or Paul's first recorded sermon at Pisidian Antioch there in Acts 13, you'll find those four things characteristic throughout. They taught doctrine, they reproved sin. Peter said, "You with the help of wicked men have nailed him to the cross." They corrected false paths, they instructed in righteousness. And so that's what the Word of God does for us. It comes to us in a balanced way. You and I both know some people who've gone to seed on one of those things. Some people who go to seed on doctrine, and they're orthodox and they're doctrinally pure, but it's sometimes it becomes a dead orthodoxy because there's no instruction in righteousness. And there are others who go to seed on reproof or correction. They think their gift is to correct everybody else. So the Bible is so sufficient, all sufficient, and so balanced in our everyday world and everyday need. And you said something very important, Hank, and that is it's not either or. It's that God speaks to us from His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. And that's why along in the Joshua Code, these 52 scripture verses, every believer should know, several of them, one in particular is about prayer. I believe every believer should know Matthew 7:7 that says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." And that's not just a clever little play on words. Those are the three levels of prayer that God gives us according to the will of God. So that's an easy verse to memorize. That first phrase, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." The first is the level of just presenting a petition. That's when we know the will of God. When we know the will of God in a matter, we ask and we receive it. We know it's His will to come to faith in Him. We ask and we receive. The second level is the level not of presenting a petition, but of pressing a petition. He said, "Seek and you will find." That's the prayer we pray. When we don't know the will of God in a matter, we seek until we find it. And then the third level, the level of persisting a petition, is when we knock and it'll be opened unto you. That's when we know the will of God in our own hearts, but we haven't seen the answer yet, and we don't give up. We just keep knocking. As you know, the verb tense says, we just keep on knocking. So one of the things we try to do in the book in each chapter is give you a foundation to understand what the Word of God is saying in the verse that we're memorizing.
O.S., I want you to really underscore the reality that this is not just a book. This is not just something cute, a fad that you encounter on your daily walk through life, but this is transformational. You're talking about something that absolutely transformed your life, getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you. You underscore in this book that meditation is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. You have pointed out just how crucial it is to do this. So again, stress the fact that this is not a game. It's not just something that's a passing fantasy. This is something that can radically radically revolutionize your life.
Absolutely. And Hank, it's been a forgotten subject in the church for decades now. And I think that's one of the reasons this book has taken on such a life. In fact, it's been tremendously successful in the few months it's been out. And what we've been finding out is that when people get it, they turn around and they buy 10 or 25 copies for their family and friends because they want every one of their family members to begin to get the truth that they're mining from this word, the word of God. And so it's been an incredible thing to see how the Lord has given this legs and how it's taken off and how people are grasping what we're really trying to say here.
Again, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Online at equip.org. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. OS, I also need to ask you this question about application, because as wonderful and worthwhile as it is to memorize and examine Scripture, that's simply not enough. We must also take the knowledge we have gleaned from the Word of God and then apply it to everyday lives, because wisdom is the application of knowledge. Jesus made that very clear in the Sermon on the Mount.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the Sermon on the Mount, you mentioned he told so much of it to indicate to us that it wasn't just our actions, it was our reactions that mattered. And so how we react to Scripture that we have encased in our hearts, is like you began earlier in this program by talking about our Lord and his temptation in the wilderness, how it is written, he answered every time, just applying the Scripture right there in the face of the devil himself. And so a big part of what we try to do in each of these chapters in the devotional thought is make application, too, of how we apply this to our lives. For example, there's a chapter in there on the second mile. Whoever compels you to go with him 1 mile, go with him too, because there's a mandated mile that's motivated by law, and that's that first mile, but there's a miracle mile that's motivated by love and how to put love into action in our lives.
One of the most amazing aspects of the Bible is that it is alive and active rather than dead and dull, and that God speaks to us through the mystery of his word. You alluded to that earlier when you said that so often when you go through life, God brings at exactly the right time a scripture back to your memory. Now, he could do that supernaturally if you didn't memorize it, but it's unlikely that he would. And that's one of those reasons, again, that I presume you're stressing how important it is to hide God's word in the tablet of your heart.
Amen. Do you have time for a 2 or 3 minute illustration?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to illustrate that very truth you said, I'll give you a perfect example. I mentioned we left Fort Lauderdale and came to First Baptist Dallas, and it was an incredible, difficult decision for my wife Susie and I as we sought the Lord and his will for our lives. We loved Fort Lauderdale. We loved the people there in the church, and we were in Israel by ourselves in the process of being invited to be the pastor in Dallas, and we're trying to decide and trying to pray through that circumstance and situation. Early one morning, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, most pilgrims, when they go there, you go to the Church of the All Nations where those great old olive trees are. But few people know that the garden extends to the north, and there's a private garden owned there by a gentleman that lives in one of the villages up, Autur, up from there. We've known him for years and years, and Susie and I were in that little private garden amidst those olive trees praying by ourselves one morning and sitting on a rock early one morning, and she was praying, and I looked down at my feet, and on a blade of grass, you know, I saw these diamonds on this blade of grass. It just caught me, and I reached down, plucked that blade of grass up, and of course, they weren't diamonds at all. They were droplets of dew that were just glistening in that Middle Eastern sun, and into my mind, Hank, came a verse of Scripture that I hadn't thought about in over 30 years. I had memorized it shortly after I became a Christian. It's an obscure verse from Hosea 14, verse 5. I don't know whether I heard a sermon on it one time or why, but I had memorized it back there almost 40 years ago, and I hadn't thought about it since. But I was looking at that blade of grass, that dew on there, and Hosea 14, 5 came to my mind. It's a promise from God. He said, I will be like the dew to my people. I'll be like the dew to Israel. I looked at that blade of grass, and I thought, well, where does dew come from? when you think about it. Does dew fall or does dew rise? You go out in the morning, get the newspaper, and dew's all over the yard. Did it fall or does it rise? And, of course, the answer is neither. It just appears when certain conditions are right. And God said, I'll be like the dew to my people. We pray, oh, God, fall on us, or, oh, God, rise up. No, he just shows up when certain conditions are right in our heart. And that's just another illustration of how, if I hadn't memorized that verse, I would have lost that truth completely. And I could illustrate this, Hank, in a thousand ways over the course of a lifetime, how at just the right time, a verse hidden in my heart came to the surface of my mind and spoke to me at the very point of my need. It's like Bible promises. You don't find a Bible promise. They find you.
Wow. What an incredible way to end this broadcast. I mean, God has called us to write his word upon the tablet of our hearts. And with the call, he has also provided the ability to do so. Remember, as I mentioned before, your mind is like a muscle. If you exercise it, it will increase in its capacity to remember and recall information. If you don't, it will atrophy. And that's why, or at least one of the reasons, that O.S. Hawkins has provided this invaluable resource. It's called the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Again, this is not just a resource. It is the resource for 2013. Get it. Use it. I promise it will revolutionize your life. OS, you've been a great blessing to me. You've been a great example to me. And thank you so much for what you've shared with our audience today.
Well, thank you, Hank, and thank you for your faithfulness to the Word of God through the years and the encouragement you are to so very, very many people, and especially today to me. And thank you for this opportunity of sharing the message.
You got it, my friend. Again, the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Three ways to get it: online at equip.org. With your gift, we'll send you a copy of the Joshua Code. You may want to think about ordering multiple copies. Once you get it, you'll really start thinking about that. You can also order via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. This is a book you don't want to be without. O.S. Hawkins is a pillar of the Christian faith and someone who knows what he's talking about, someone that's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. I mean, he has done this, and so he's given in very simple language that all of us can relate to exactly how this process works. This book will be a treasure for the rest of your life. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We pray that today's program has blessed you and deepened your understanding of Scripture. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times, ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.